Hello, everyone. Welcome to the third podcast brought to you by AusPuck. We thought we'd come at you again in this blind-friendly form and even have some interesting content to get through, which is a nice change of pace from usual. Life is broken back. WCOM, hello.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me once again. Hello, my North American friends and all the Europeans out there who's listening to us. Give a shout out to them.
Yeah, quick note to our North American and European listeners who actually contacted me during the week saying how much they appreciate hockey talk coming from people with Australian accents. You know,
it's that much more sexier.
I don't know if they used those words, but no? I'm sure that's what they meant. Thank you. So yes, we let the good times roll. So thanks for tuning in from wherever you are around the world. But as always, we will start with talk from around the AIHL. The season's been over for a little while now, and I know you and I have been a little bit disappointed at the league's lack of announcing any award winners or things like that.
Yeah.
We feel it's something.
Yeah, I mean, as any professional. You know, league, there should be an award system. I mean, I'm not saying comparing us to the NHL, but the NHL has it. European leagues have it. Some of the lowest level European leagues have it. So why can't we?
Even domestic Australian leagues have it. So
exactly. So it's disgusting that we.
Yeah, I have no idea why the AIHL doesn't have awards. But one thing that did stand out in my mind was maybe because all of the recipients of the awards would be imports. So why would you honour someone that goes away the next year? But I don't think that takes anything away from the fact that they should have awards nonetheless. Even if you just give them a certificate or something that just says, well done, you were the best at this.
Thanks for playing in the AIHL.
That's right. Okay, so with that in mind, the team here at AusPuck has put together our AIHL awards. And we will be announcing all of those winners in this podcast. We've decided to name the individual trophies after members of the 1960 Australian Winter Olympic ice hockey team, which was probably the highest level that Australia has ever competed for in ice hockey. Would you agree?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, Olympic level is the highest level you can get around the world when it comes to, you know, being an athlete.
Yeah.
Kudos to us.
Yeah. I mean, we don't really have to go into too much detail about how the team performed, but just being there was credit enough, I would say. So we're gonna get right into it now. The first award we have dubbed the Wellman Trophy, and this is named after Ken Wellman, who was the highest point scorer for Team Australia during the 1960 Olympics. We are awarding this to the highest point scorer of the AIHL. A straightforward award, but this year the winner is Brian Bales from the Newcastle North Stars, who put up an amazing 81 points in 23 games played, coming off 30 goals and 51 assists. Set AIHL records in points and assists. And really contributed to a fantastic season for the North Stars.
It just goes to show you how the AIHL is starting to really recruit this kind of talent, and it's really starting to prove that, you know, this league, even though it's a non-paying, you know, amateur league, it's recruiting, you know, high quality talent from around the world, and, you know, people, it just goes to show that people do want to play here. And it's a great league to play in.
Yeah, a city like Newcastle recruiting this former NCAA player, you know, highlights that point you were just making, right? It's not a big town, but they have a successful hockey franchise, and you are going to attract these kind of players, which is fantastic. Okay, on to the next award, which we've dubbed the Hansen Trophy, which is one of my personal favorites. I think it's one of yours as well, wasn't it?
Oh, it's quite a suitable dubbing.
Yeah, the Hansen Trophy. This is named after Basil Hansen, who was from all accounts, the best defenseman that Australia had on that 1960 team. And as such, we are awarding this to Defenseman of the Year in the AIHL. The runners-up for this award were Adam Blanchett from the Melbourne Ice, Chris Boulanger from the Newcastle North Stars, but the winner is Eric Bégin from the Sydney Bears, who put up 15 goals, 15 assists for 30 points in 25 games played, led all defensemen in scoring in the AIHL, and from all accounts was really one of the key members of the Sydney Bears team.
Yeah, he was an amazing player to play with. He was one of those players that would get the ball rolling in the first period. He'd score that first goal, but then he was one of those players that got the game-winning goal in the same game. Just an explosion of passion and emotion that comes out through his playing ability. So
yeah.
great to play with, absolutely.
Yeah, he played in all situations for the Bears, contributed at both ends of the ice. So congratulations to Eric Bégin from the Sydney Bears for winning the first Hansen Trophy. Moving on to the Reid Trophy. This is named in honour of Rob Reid, who was the starting goaltender for the 1960 Australian team. And as such, we are awarding this to the Goaltender of the Year in the AIHL. The runners-up for this award were Stu Denman from the Melbourne Ice, Nick Boucher from the Sydney Bears, but the winner was Matt Ezzy from the Newcastle North Stars, who put together a fantastic season of 22 games played, 19 wins, 3 losses, a goals against average of 2.75, and a save percentage of 918.
Yeah, I mean, this guy's just another amazing Australian-born, trained player. I mean, he played overseas for a few years, and he's an absolute professional. He's a pest between the pipes. I mean, I've played against him most of my career playing in the AIHL, and I think any player playing against him will know that he's a fantastic, amazing player, but he's a pest between those pipes. I mean, he just makes some amazing saves, and you really got to give it to him. He really deserves it.
Yeah, I think there's not many players that have the kind of aura that Ezzy has, when he steps on the ice. But, I think when you go up against Newcastle and Matt Ezzy, you just know that, you're probably not going to get many easy goals, and you've got to be prepared to work hard to really score on him. So congratulations to him for winning this award. On to the next trophy, which is named in honour of Bud McEachern, who was the coach of the 1960 Australian team. So the McEachern Trophy, we will be awarding this to the AIHL Coach of the Year. There were no runners-up for this award this year. The winner has been announced as Paul Watson from the Melbourne Ice. WCOM, your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, they're the winning team, the AIHL Grand Final team. They won the league. What better coach to do it? I mean, they had a fantastic team. He pulled together that team, brought the chemistry together, and obviously he made it work.
Yeah. And I think he certainly did make it work. I think their record speaks for themselves, how successful they were. Especially his performance in the finals or the finals weekend, gearing that team up, getting them focused, giving them a good game plan. It has obviously led to the kind of success that they had. So congratulations to Paul Watson, much deserved McEachern Trophy for Coach of the Year. On to the Russell Jones Award. This is a straight out award. We're not giving these guys a trophy. We have dubbed this for the AHL's best under 20 player, or the AHL Player of the Year. The runner-up for this award was Dan Shaw. There's a lot of deliberation over who should have won this award, and Dan Shaw came in a very close second. I'm going to give him a bit of a chat right now because he went from the Bears' fourth line to the first line and really contributed. Any words for Dan?
Yeah, I mean, he's a player that's been in the league for years. You know, he broke the league when he was only, I think, about 16, 17 years old, and that's, you know, a tough thing to do in itself. And he's established himself since then. And to even come on to a team who I think back when he did come on was struggling a little bit, he was able to come out on top then as well. And I think this year, you know, our coaching staff, or the coaching staff, you know, really saw what he could do on the ice and saw he could really fill those holes that we had at the start of the season. And he sure did, absolutely.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Congratulations to Dan Shaw. But the winner of the Russell Jones Award is Daj Wahibi from South Australia.
Yeah, Daj. Now, to be honest with you, I'd never heard of this kid before, I think it was the start of this year. You know, he made the Australian national team as an 18-year-old, which was fantastic. And word on the street was at the camp during the tournament, you know, he was, you know, one of the best players there, you know, playing on probably the best performer there, actually. So, and during the season, you know, he's a fantastic force on the ice. He's just a young guy, lots of speed, racked up a lot of points, right place at the right time. And, you know, he's really got a really good vision of the ice at such a young age too. So it's definitely got to go to Daj.
Yeah, Daj. Daj did a good job contributing to your team as much as he did. As an Australian-born and trained under-20-year-old, is quite phenomenal. So congratulations to him. If he's not a superstar in his local hockey community, he absolutely should be.
He's up there. Yeah, well, all these players should be going overseas anyway, and they do. Like, I'm pretty sure he is one of those players that were trained here to a certain age, and he's just come back and he's, you know, burst onto the scene with all this explosive energy from, you know, the season that he just came off from coming overseas last year. So,
okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, it's certainly paid off. He did some good things on the ice. Right. On to our sixth and final award. This is the Acton Trophy, named in honour of Ben Acton, who was captain of the 1960 Australian Olympic ice hockey team. We are awarding this to the league's most valuable player. Now, just to give a definition of our version of a league MVP, we have decided to award this, you know, in kind of the same way that the NHL does. Maybe not the best player in the league, but the player that was most responsible for his team's success. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, of course.
Yep. Okay, excellent. So the runners-up for this award this year, this is our big one. The runners-up were Liam Webster from the Melbourne Ice, who definitely gets consideration. Wouldn't you agree?
Young captain, fantastic leader. You know, absolutely, you know, won the whole championship. So, yeah, of course he gets a mention, of course.
Yep. Second runner-up was Brian Bales, the winner of the Wellman Trophy, as the 81-point season. I think that speaks for itself.
Yeah.
But the winner of the Acton Trophy goes to Nick Boucher from the Sydney Bears.
Yeah, well, yeah, once again, you know, I played with Nick Boucher, and to be honest with you, without him, I mean, the Bears would have gone as far as they had. At the start of the year, I think it's proof of that. You know, the Bears didn't have such a good run without him. You know, our goaltender at the time played fantastic, as well as he could, but as soon as Boucher came in, we started winning, carried us all the way there, and he's absolutely true professional. So, yeah, well done.
Yeah, I think that anyone that followed the AHL knows that Nick was probably, you know, as responsible for his team's success, more than anyone else in the league. How Nick played determined how the Bears went. And I think without his outstanding performance from game in to game out, I'm not sure if the Bears would have qualified for the playoffs or as had a stronger season as they did.
And that's not to take away anything from the players themselves. I mean, they have fantastic players. We have, you know, fantastic European line. We have the imports there, no doubt about it. But, you know, if we're honest, the most valuable player, you know, of the year definitely goes for the team. Definitely goes to Nick. I mean, without him, we wouldn't have got where we did.
Yep, and yep. All right, I couldn't agree more. So, So that's it. That's all of our six trophies. Congratulations to all of our winners. We feel that this is the most accurate representation. So congratulations to all of our winners again. And it would be great to see you all back in the AIHL sometime soon. Okay, well, during the month of October, even though it's already started, we are honoring captains, various captains from around the NHL. We're going to talk a little bit about captains now. There have been some new captains appointed by various NHL teams, and there are still some teams without some captains. But again, we're just going to go through recapping the offseason just to keep everyone up to date. WCOM. Brian Gionta has been named captain of the Montreal Canadiens. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, well, I think it's fantastic. I mean, he's an American in a Canadian city. What is he, the smallest player in the NHL right now? And he's still there, and he's still racking up points, and he's a leading force. I think he's a fantastic player. Yeah, what more can I say? I mean, he's going to be, I guess, a leader for how many years now? What's his contract for?
I think he's got about four years left on it.
Yeah, so yeah.
He will be around Montreal for a while, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I noticed you mentioned he was American there. Now, you know, if I was a Canadiens supporter, I wonder if that would be something that I would have a hard time getting used to. And if it wasn't for Saku Koivu being their captain for all those years, who's obviously a Finnish player, I reckon that's completely, you know, desensitized the crowd to the fact of having, you know, a non-French Canadian captain.
Yeah. But the question is now, does he have to learn French?
Well, yeah, it's funny when you say that because when I was in Montreal, the papers used to get angry at Saku Koivu for not being able to speak French. Right?
Yeah.
Canada in itself is a bilingual country, right? So everyone should be able to speak both languages. And then, you know, it was funny because you would hear jokes by Saku saying, you know, the only person I speak French to is my wife in bed. and all this kind of stuff. So, I mean, he kind of wore down the media with jokes like that. But I do think that, you know, if you are captain of Montreal, you do need to learn French. The game gets broadcasted in both languages. And, you know, there are papers there that are all French.
Yeah, but what does he have to do now? Not only does he have to lead a team in a Canadian city, but now he has to learn French in the off season. What more do they want to do? Is that part of his contract?
They probably would want to grow a couple inches, maybe.
We do have genetic testing now for that, genetic engineering for that. So
it probably doesn't even need genetics, just install some new knees. New knees, new torso. You know, he's 5'7" right now, so you bump him up to about 5'10", that's good enough. 3 inches.
Oh, yeah. All right. They have a stretch rack for that for him in the change room. That's what he does before a game. That's his pre-game warm-up.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. but it is big shoes to fill. Montreal, you know, probably the most storied franchise in all of the NHL. Initial media reports from people that are closer to the game than obviously you or I were giving it 2 thumbs up, the appointment of Brian Gionta as Montreal Canadiens captain. So if they think it's a good idea, then I'm not going to doubt them. I look forward
to it. Who are the candidates for the captaincy?
Well, you got to look at someone like Andrei Markov.
Yeah.
Right, who's the team's best defenseman. He's been around Montreal forever. He was definitely a candidate. And then there was some, like, dark horses, people like Travis Moen. I'm just going to stick with Travis Moen right now. You speak of other candidates. I think Brian Gionta just may be keeping the captain's seat warm until Guillaume Latendresse can become a free agent again and re-sign. And re-sign with Montreal.
Yeah. Good move. Good move, Montreal.
Yeah. We'll trade away this dead prospect that just goes to Minnesota. Goes to Minnesota.
Yeah.
25 goals in 52 games. And they're like,
trade me, will you?
That's right. So I'm pretty sure he'll be back in Montreal one day, and he'll probably be named captain. But take nothing away from Brian Gionta. He's earned it. So congratulations to him once again. Alexander Ovechkin was obviously named the captain last season in Washington, but this will be his first full season as captain. I think he was named in what, January? Might have been early February. He was named captain when they traded Chris Clark. How do you think he will go as captain of Washington?
Well, I think he was always captain on that team, whether anyone else thought it or not. He's one of those players that led by example, and he's going to always be doing that, no matter whether he has a C or A or a nothing on his jersey. It just seems like that kind of electric player on and off the ice. You know, he looks like a kidder in the change room, but, you know, amazing player on the ice. So he's one of those captains that are literally going to lead by example, and people are going to play, like players on his team are going to want to, you know, play as good and just be part of that electrifying experience. And once again, I think he's going to lead his team back into the playoffs for another term,
Yeah, I have no doubt that Washington will get into the playoffs. They're far too talented not to. If they flame out in the first or second round again, does Ovechkin get some blame?
It's a team effort. I mean, it's hard to say, but you know, for a superstar to have all that pressure on him already, just like Sidney Crosby did, and you know, when he got the captaincy as the youngest player, and then he still came out on top. I believe that Ovechkin's going to have the same sort of pressure, and I believe that he's going to come out on top just as good. And
yeah,
you know, they've got a great chance, and hopefully, I mean, you know, I want him to go, you know, to the Cup Finals. That's what I'm banking on this year for Washington. So I'm a little biased in that, in my opinion there, but I mean, every captain has a little bit of responsibility, and whether they can come back the year after to know what happened the year before and deal with the issues during the off season and come back as a stronger team together, that's what makes a great captain. I mean, if you can't perform like that this year, you know, maybe next year they might think about giving the captaincy to someone else. But that's we're getting too far ahead of ourselves there.
I agree with most of your points just then. I personally don't think Ovechkin would get the blame if the team struggled in the playoffs again, assuming he absolutely didn't crash and burn and just didn't show up at all. I think he's done so much for that franchise that they would, you know, cut him some slack for at least another season before they start questioning about who's the leader of that team.
Yeah.
They say you've got to They say you've got to lose before you learn how to win. So hopefully that's happened to Ovechkin and the entire Washington team, similar to what happened to, say, Pittsburgh when they lost to Detroit in the Cup Finals. I mean, they didn't make it that far. They didn't even get close. But, you know, losing is a lesson no matter what round it happens.
That's right. And that's why it's scary, because as a team that loses, they come back stronger and stronger and stronger, because it's hard to stay at the top.
Yeah.
Once you falter at the top, that team that's chasing you is going to see all your weaknesses, and they're going to come back stronger and know how to win.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
So hopefully that works. I'm trying to limit the Toronto discussion, as some of our listeners said, we spend too much time talking about Toronto. But during the offseason, Dion Phaneuf has been named captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's 24 years old. I think he's the youngest captain in the history of the Maple Leafs. Your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, I think he's just going to bring what he had from Calgary to the team. I mean, obviously last year wasn't a fantastic year, but...
He can't be blamed for all of that. He wasn't even there.
So yeah, so no, I think he's going to be, I think he's going to be good. It's a good responsibility for him to have. It's a great team to play for. I mean, hopefully he can carry them as further than what they had last year. Mm-hmm. So yeah, good choice.
Yeah,
what good else do they have? What other choice do they have?
Yeah, you're giving the Finnish captaincy the thumbs up.
Yeah, of course, definitely.
He's going to be there for.
He had such a good season in Calgary, and you know why can't he? You know, why can't he, seasons in Calgary, so why can't he do as good as he did there in Toronto?
Well, hopefully, yeah. I'm sure that was the idea. I think he wanted to be the alpha leader in Calgary, but with guys like Jerome McGinley and Mika Kiprasov around, there just wasn't room for him to kind of, you know, be that vocal leader in a change room or you know, have the opportunity to yell at refs and things like that. So he'll definitely get that in Toronto. A quick note on Dion Phaneuf, right? Toronto is obviously such a hockey mad market that all of their players are subject to press interviews, media scrutiny, things like that. An interesting thing that I read was that Dion Phaneuf absolutely doesn't give a shit the way he presents himself to the media. And what I mean by that is when he's asked a question, or he has to present a statement or something, if he looks nervous, if he looks uncomfortable, or he stumbles through a speech, he can just brush that aside straight away and get back out on the ice and do your thing, do his thing.
Right.
Like, if that was you or I giving an interview, we made a fool out of ourselves, we'd be like, oh my God, everyone hates us. Oh my God, you know. With the laughing stock of a city, oh my God, you know. But he apparently just goes, oh whatever, that, you know, I'm not going to watch the news report on myself, so I don't give a shit what anyone says. You know, I'm out there to destroy people on the ice and help my team win.
Which does fantastically,
yeah. Yeah, and I think that's such a refreshing change of pace for, you know, for a captain of a team that's going to have to answer, you know, questions, you know, after every game and give reasons why his team did or didn't win, just to not care about, you know, to care more about the, how you present yourself to your teammates than how you present yourself to the public is pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, cause it's about the team. It's not how the public sees the team. Is if the team wins on the ice and they're winning games, he's doing his job.
Yeah,
that's the way he's.
Yeah, that is it. Like, you know, the Toronto media will hate you whether will hate you until you win a cup, regardless of what you do. So you may as well just focus on the players that can actually help you win the cup.
Yeah.
So fantastic. Quick note also. Quickly over this. Nashville announced Shea Weber as their captain a few weeks ago. Weber was obviously a Canadian Olympian from 2010. He's their best defenseman and is likely going to score about 20 goals a season for the rest of his life. Their most talented player, and I think they were just kind of waiting for Dan Hamhuis to get out of there before they gave him the captaincy. Not that Dan was the captain, but he was a kind of roadblock because he had been there for so long in Nashville. And now that he's gone, hey, Shea Weber, congratulations. You're now our captain. So I look forward to him. I like Shea Weber. He's got a booming shot from the point. Oh, man, can he launch rockets? There are goalies in the NHL that are scared of his shot, and that says something.
Yeah, well, he's a force.
He's amazing. Okay, but moving on, we're going to talk about the teams that actually don't have captains named yet. We think it's something that's interesting. As I said, it is Captain Week, or Captain Month, I should say, on us puck. So we're going to go over all of these teams. Anaheim currently doesn't have a captain name. Now, they've got some good players. They got a lot of talent. What do you think? Captain be announced before the season starts or during the season?
Well, I think they should definitely have a captain before the season starts.
Yeah.
they need leadership. They can't go captainless. I mean, I don't understand a team who, you know, can organize all these signings and deals and two-way contracts but not have a leader in the change room.
That's right. Well, Scott Niedermayer did just retire at the end of last season, so he was their long-time captain.
Yeah, but you have assistant captains during the
That's right.
You know, during the season, that contribute as well. I mean, these people are these assistant captains, you know, kind of being prepped to being a captain. You know what I mean? So.
Yep. Yeah.
If they can't do the job, why are they being an assistant captain in the first place?
That's right. So you got any, favorites for Anaheim?
Well, I'd like to say maybe Solani.
So, yep. They should give it out of him. Just they should give it to him just because he's awesome.
Yeah, super duper awesome. Well, he's been in the league for a long time.
Yeah, and he's been
consistently for a long time.
Sorry, I said he's been the face of that franchise forever. Right, like the town loves him, the players love him, you know. But he is probably in his last season, so you know, do they give him the captaincy so he goes out with a bang, or do they give it to someone like Getzlaf or Perry to groom them, you know, or even Saku Koivu? He plays there, you know.
That is a very, very good question. They're fantastic players and leaders on that team.
Yep.
You know, and that's probably why they don't have a captaincy right now. You know, it's a tough decision to make. I mean, I completely agree. I'd agree if they gave it to Getzlaf. I mean, he's a young, talented player who is a franchise player. So if he's there for, you know, the rest of his life, as a captain, you know, he could do some great things. But
you're right. They might just wait till like middle of November to see who's emerged as the leader in the locker room, and then just give it to them. They might just, you know, see how it goes. Like, it's a bit of a transition phase. I mean, Scott Niedermeyer is a great player, so it's hard to make up for him. Okay, on to the Atlanta Thrashers. Previous captain was Ilya Kovalchuk. He's gone. Do you think there's a replacement in sight on that roster?
this is an organization, I think, that is not going through some turmoil of who to give the captaincy to, because there are so many players that, you know, deserve it. But I think it's who they give the captaincy to, because who is on the team that could really, I guess, take a leadership role. And, you know, if we're going to go experience, I mean, what are your thoughts? I mean, I don't know. Modine's been Frederick Modine.
Yeah, Modine. He's been a player. He's won a cup. He's a good player. You know, I don't want to talk about Atlanta because we've talked about them forever, but I don't think they have captain material on their team at all. And even if they do name a captain, as per our last podcast, they're just keeping it warm until Angelo Esposito arrives.
Which he will.
Oh, he's on his way. You know, once he gets those bionic knees, he'll be there. So you're really looking at Ron Hainsey, who's been there who's got 3 years left of his 5-year contract. He's been around Atlanta for a long time. I would say he gets my nod as captain. You got Nick Antropov. No, he's not going to be captain. Someone like...
Huh?
Sorry?
He speaks English now. So why not?
Yeah, but I don't think he speaks English in a way that the Southerners can understand it. That would be like, you know, they'll probably be like, who's this French guy? There's Frenchies in our town? He'd be like, sure. So Modine, Hainsey, Antropov. I wouldn't mind seeing a guy like Nigel Dawes, who's a really good story. He's probably a name that none of our listeners know, but you know, coming from New York and the way he made the NHL is good. Well, is a good story, as I said. So it'd be nice seeing him to get in there and be named captain. Edmonton Oilers also don't have a captain. Any thoughts on them?
I mean, if you're gonna start trying to pick leaders or young stars to really groom this team, you know, Aleš Hemský has been there for a long time. You know, Sean Horkoff, those two players, you know, I've watched them play personally when I was younger, and so, you know, who else is there? Maybe
Taylor Hall.
Taylor Hall, I mean, he's a, you know, complete rookie. I mean,
oh, that was a joke. I mean, you can't give him the captaincy as an 18-year-old. No way.
Yeah, why not?
Because he's not Eiserman.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true.
Nobody's on.
No one is
on. My buddy Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, Horcraft's a good point. He could get it, but he hasn't performed well enough. I don't think when you're a team that has as many young stars as Edmonton does, you don't want to give your captaincy to a player that's not performing, because that gives a false sense of entitlement.
Well, then if we're talking about performance on that team, it's quite hard. I mean, they finished dead last. The only player that really racked up any points was Dustin Penner,
who will never be captain anywhere. So there's no one. I don't think there's anyone. I think Edmonton goes captainless this season. And,
yeah.
And they'll wait, and they'll be patient to see which one of their young stars emerges a leader.
Yeah.
That's the only way to do it. I mean, the San Jose Sharks, with the retirement of Rob Blake, are also captainless. Now, this is a team that's loaded with talent, experience. Do you see a captain on this roster?
I'm going to go Thornton.
Yeah. Previous captain in Boston. Team yeah. The player. You like Joe Thornton as getting the captaincy in San Jose?
Look, he's a typical Canadian point scoring. He can grind, he can fight.
Yeah.
You know, he's a guy. He can move the puck, he can move fast, and you know, I think he's a leader. So he's been the captain before. He knows the role well. He knows, you know, how to rise to the occasion. So yeah, of course, I'm going to go with Joe.
Ooh, rise to the occasion. That's a big call. Here's an interesting question. Would they consider giving it back to Patrick Marleau? They took it away, gave it to Rob Blake, and now Marleau was, you know, happy about it. He said, sure, if that's what the team wants to do. He was a free agent at the end of the season and re-signed with San Jose. Do you think they give him the captaincy back?
Maybe wait and see how they go, see what they do. I mean, if they're going to do it with Edmonton, I mean, why? They've got a bunch of captains on this team, you know, with Joe Thornton, you know, Marleau. So why not wait and see if, you know, someone really, if he gets it back, if he deserves it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's right. I think they'll wait and see. You know, they might be waiting for a guy like Joe Pavelski as well to emerge as a leader, but I don't think you can give it to him either, because there are too many veterans, there are too many good players. Maybe they're even considering someone like a Dan Boyle for captaincy.
Yeah.
It's gonna be one of those three. It's gonna be Thornton, Marleau, or Dan Boyle, or maybe they'll just alternate the C amongst them all season. Final team without a captain is Vancouver. Roberto Luongo, who is obviously the team's starting goaltender, was named captain at the start of last year. Was it the year before? It was just last year, wasn't it?
This last year, yeah.
Yeah, named last season. Obviously, goalies can't be declared captains on hockey teams, but Roberto airbrushed the C into his mask anyway. The media recognized him as captain, the team recognized him as captain, but obviously he couldn't deal with the on-ice officials. Now, Vancouver got dumped from the last two playoff rounds by Chicago this past playoff season and the previous one last year. In all this, Roberto has said, look, I've got better things to worry about than being the captain of this team, so I'm going to give up my captaincy. Personally, I think that's a fantastic move. You know, I don't think he needed the added pressure of being a captain. I just don't, I've been around the sport forever and I have never seen a need for any goaltender to ever be a captain. But do you think Vancouver will allow a grace period maybe for the teams to adjust? Because obviously he's a big fan favorite there, right? They all love him in that town. Canada loves him after winning the gold medal. Do you think they go for a little while, maybe this season without a captain and then name one next year? Or do you think there are captains on the team right now?
No, I think there are captains on the team right now. I mean, it'd be unfair to take that team and that organization, and they have such a great organization, so they wouldn't need to wait. I mean, they've got fantastic players on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Henrik Sedin, I think, smashed points last year.
Yeah, 120 points.
Yeah. And, you know, he's been on the team for years. So he's definitely, you know, a candidate for the captaincy. Maybe Ryan Kessler as well. Yep. Another fantastic, you know, he's a fantastic leader as well. So, and he's young. So, yeah, no, I don't think they're going to wait. I think they're going to choose one. I don't know when, but I know that there are, you know, candidates on that team that can really step up to the plate.
Cool. Absolutely. Yeah, it's good call about Henrik Sedin, about being there for so long, like drafted in 99. He's been with the team ever since, but you know, if you make him captain, his twin brother might get jealous. So.
you can't split the captain.
So like, yeah. Funny stories about Henrik Sedin is that the best way to insult him is to tell him that his brother is the ugliest person in the world.
Is this when one person is in Montreal, the other one is in Vancouver? They can feel the hate? Because the twins do that, right?
With that connection? Probably. But I'm just saying, if you know, if Daniel's standing right there and Henrik's standing up there, and you go up to Henrik and go, your brother Daniel is the ugliest person alive, they both get offended. So, yeah, I think maybe Henrik gets the captaincy. I also like Alex Burrows. I think he's a guy with a bit of flair. You know, it's a bit of swagger, you know, bravado. I like him. I like him as a captain. If he went out there and you know, not only beat a team but also kind of made them feel shitty about themselves, then that would be pretty fun to see. Okay, just with a bit more NHL talk here. Obviously, the season kicks off October 7th in America, which will be, I believe, Friday the 8th in Australia. That's correct, isn't it, WCOM?
Yeah, absolutely. Friday, yeah. Definitely double header for us over here.
Yeah, this Friday. Get excited, everyone. But we were having a look at, you know, the playoffs from last season and where teams finished and things like that. And we were considering the bubble teams and whether they were going to make it again. Obviously, all of the predictions are coming out. But we just thought we'd shed a light on, you know, shed our light, I suppose, on a couple teams that were on the bubble last year and whether they would make it again. A change of pace will start in the Western Conference this time. Phoenix, WCOM, do they make the playoffs this year?
Well, yeah. I mean, they had such a good year last year. If they can, I guess, if they can, you know, move on with the energy they had last year, and you know, continue and start this year, then yeah, I think they've got a good chance. You know, one of my shootout questions to you. I'm not going to bring it up, but it is a Phoenix question, so I don't want to talk about too much about that. So, but yeah. Yeah, I think they have a good chance this year. Just as long as they continue to be, you know, putting up those points and doing what they did last year.
Yeah. I think they lost a bit of talent via free agency, but the idea in Phoenix is to grow from within, to watch their young players develop, and I think that will continue. I think Brizgalov in net provides them with a lot of stability, and I think they will make the playoffs again. Dave Tippett is too good of a coach to allow his team to be shithouse. And I think that'll be successful. Colorado, young team again. Haven't really spent any money on the team at all in the last few years. Do you think they make it in?
What were they, like a mid-level team, you know, mid-table team last year? Yep. So, I want to say because they – sorry?
They said they finished eighth in the conference last year.
Well, that's top ten. So that's You know what? They're always going to be a good team. They always have been. It's strange not to see them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be strange not to see them in the playoffs. I mean, I love watching them. I love seeing them there. They're a big you know, a rival franchise team, obviously to the Detroit Red Wings and to other teams as well now. So yeah, I want to see them there, but I'd like to see a few games first, see how they go.
Yeah, I'm going to say right now that Colorado doesn't make the playoffs this year. They're still a very young team. I think they caught teams by surprise last year. I don't think a team like Calgary or even St. Louis is going to let this team of kids beat them again to the playoffs. I think Colorado is going to be in for a tough game night in, night out, because there are teams that – I think there are teams that are jealous of them making the playoffs, and they're going to take out their frustrations out on them all season long. Quickly, Columbus Blue Jackets, make the playoffs? Yes, no?
No.
No, I'm going to go.
No, you know, you can only be led by one person for so long.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with no.
I agree. They've lost some talent. Look, when Steve Mason, who's their goaltender, won the Rookie of the Year, he put in an absolutely phenomenal performance and was one of the key reasons why they made it. Now, if he repeats that kind of year, then sure, they have a chance. If he doesn't, and I don't think they will, no, they're not going to make the playoffs. Okay, onto the Eastern Conference now, and talking about the bubble teams out on the East. Let's start with Buffalo, who's really Ryan Miller and a bunch of other players. Do you think they make the playoffs?
No, I don't think so at all. Not really.
Yeah.
The reason being, I think they had a mediocre season last year. I mean, they had like you said, Miller and Nett. Miller did what he could. He's like the Bichet of the Bears, really.
Yeah, he won the Vezina, so he did all he could do.
Yeah.
But it was just him and a bunch of other players.
So yeah.
So no, they don't.
No. I don't think they'll make it at all. No.
I'm agreeing with you there. I don't think they'll make the playoffs either. I think they lost too much talent. They didn't do enough. Look, you know, you can't be expected to win every game 1-0, 2-1. You know, there are times where you're going to have to open it up, and Buffalo just doesn't have the horses to, you know, to do that. Montreal, do they make the playoffs?
Yeah, well, I'm going to say with the new captaincy of Brian Gionta, we gave him a good rap there.
Who?
I'm going to back this. Brian Gionta.
Oh, right. The French guy.
Yeah. Yeah. The American French guy.
Right.
From New Orleans, right. Anyway, so yeah, I'm going to say that they've got a fantastic chance, like they do every year. I just don't agree with the move they made with
Alec.
He had a fantastic playoff run, and they decided to get rid of him. So
all the pressure is now on Carey Price to see what he can do. So, oh man, we'll see what happens. If Carey Price getting booed off the ice in the first preseason game for Montreal is any indication how the season goes, then they could be in for a long one. But I do think they will make the playoffs there in Montreal. I think they're talented enough. And I think the success they enjoyed at the end of last season will keep them motivated. Ottawa, making the playoffs? Yes, no?
Yeah, I'm going to say that they do make the playoffs this year. They already have a fantastic skill-based team. They've got some big names, huge names, actually, on this roster. And how they're not winning and how they choke in the playoffs is beyond me, but... You know what, with the, enthusiasm of Jason Spezza coming back again this year and wanting to improve on his game and, obviously Daniel Alfredson, you know, being the captain there. I mean, I know not many people like him, but you know what, he puts the puck in the net, he scores the goals and he's a big contributor to the team.
Yep.
I'm going to say yes, definitely. Ottawa definitely makes the playoffs, I think.
Okay, yep.
They should.
Yeah, I'll agree that they should make the playoffs again. I'm going to refer back to another goaltender, Brian Elliott, who had an amazing, amazing streak of 12 games where he played probably better than Dominic Hasek ever played ever in his career. So he doesn't need to do that. He just needs to be consistent and good. And that should be enough for that team to get into the playoffs. The bubble teams that I think will get in this year are Tampa Bay. I think they've reloaded and have recharged. I would look out for them in the Eastern Conference. I don't think many people are expecting them to do a lot, but I am. I think they're going to be fantastic. And I might just throw in Toronto making the playoffs there as well, and maybe Carolina. Did I say Toronto?
Boo!
I had to. You got to plug Detroit.
I'm gonna say Toronto. I'm just gonna throw it out there. You know, Detroit. You know, Detroit's gonna make the playoffs then. But you know what would be ironic if they didn't?
I don't think the NHL would let Detroit not make the playoffs. They would just bankrupt every team that's in front of them. No, I'm kidding. Detroit's a fantastic franchise. Much credit to them. So, do you have any teams out of the East that you think will get in, or are you just going to stick with Tampa Bay and Toronto?
I'll stick with them. I agree with them.
Yeah, I agree with them. All right, welcome to the shootout again, something that we started last podcast and is a feature we'll be continuing from here on in. Last one, I will get to ask WCOM 5 random questions. He has to answer them as soon as he can, and then he will do the same for me. So, WCOM, are you ready?
I'm ready. Here we go.
All right, fantastic. Question one. Who gets the most points out of the Oilers' young stars, Magnus Pajavi, Taylor Hall, or Jordan Eberle?
Well, I'm going to go Taylor Hall. He's a favorite of mine.
To outscore those other two?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, fantastic. Grade Olli Jokinen in Calgary this season, bust or total bust?
I'm going to go with bust. I think he's on his way out.
It's just a regular bust?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, not total bust. You got to give the guy some credit. He's... You know, he was fantastic, but now he's not. Okay. So I'm going to give it go just a bust.
All right. Well, I was looking forward for the total bust there, but obviously. okay. Question three. Who wins a donut eating competition between Martin Brodeur and Kyle Wellwood?
No. I'm going to go Martin Brodeur. He's older and more experienced.
He's eaten way more donuts than Wellwood ever has.
Do they pay his salary in donuts?
All right. Question four. Sergei Gonchar, does he play more than 50 games for Ottawa this year?
Provided he doesn't get his head taken off, yeah.
Well, yes. So you don't think that will happen? You think
I don't think it'll happen. I think he'll play more than 50. Well, I'm hoping he'll play more than 50 because I'm banking on them making the playoffs.
That's right. And he's a keeper. Their hopes rely on it. Fifth, final question. How many NHLers get publicly named and shamed by their teams for partying too much during the regular season? Less than 20 or more than 20?
Look, the NHL is a wholesome sport. Professional athletes, you know, nothing bad goes around in the league. So I'm going to go with under 20.
Less than 20, okay. Thank you for that. That's a good prediction. I hope so. Because if it's anything like last year, oh, man.
Okay, well, I guess it's my turn. You ready for yours?
I'm ready.
Okay, good. Well, I'm gonna be honest with you. The first question is a little bit funny because obviously, you know, we don't know each other's questions and obviously answers. So the first one's going to sound quite kind of funny. Now, where do you think, here, I'm going to start, here we go. Where do you think Kyle Wellwood is going to end up after just getting turfed by the Phoenix Professional Invitation tryouts?
He could become like Brodeur's, you know, dietary, nutritional, supplemental expert. I actually do see him getting a job in the NHL this season. I think there will be a team, maybe like the Islanders, someone with...
He's looking for a team that's going to put him on a scoring line. I mean, what team would want to do that as a 27-year-old? What do you think?
Well, fatty. If he wasn't so fat, he would still be in Toronto. So... I don't know where he goes. I do see him getting a job. Look, you know, as we said, if Mike Comrie can get a job, he can get a job.
That's right. Midgets all around. Anyway, second question. My second shootout question is the Rookie of the Year. Who do you think he'll go to? Tyler Seguin or Taylor Hall?
Oh, if I had to pick a rookie of the year out of those two,
yeah.
I will go with Taylor Hall. Not necessarily because he's that much better player, but I just think that Boston's too deep for Seguin to really get the kind of opportunities that Hall will get in. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to go with Hall. Hall's okay. Better. Hall scores more goals. He's a good player.
Okay, cool. And third question, who is your favorite captain of the NHL for this season?
Ooh, I'm going to go with Sidney Crosby. Not because I'm a member of the Crosby Man Love Association.
Did you say Sidney Crosby or Sidney Crosby?
Sidney Crosby.
Must be that Australian accent of ours.
So sexy. I'm going to go with Crosby because I think he's not only is a superstar, but he is one of the most motivated people in all of hockey. So, he's my favorite.
Okay, cool. And does Mark Savard play in the NHL this year, this season?
I'll say yes, just because I don't want to give a sinister answer, but there's a little bit of no in that as well. I think the Bruins turf him all season because he doesn't know whether it's real life or not. He has four fingers.
Okay, and now my fifth and final shootout question.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is a good one because there's a lot of deliberation with this team and where they'll end up. Will Phoenix have to move cities again?
Yes. I think there is a cutoff date. I think it's January 1st, where the NHL, because the NHL is paying for Phoenix right now, right? So
yeah,
January 1st of 2011, if potential buyers haven't been reached, you know, haven't been organized by them that want to keep the team in Phoenix, it'll get sold and moved.
Well, that's why I say, I mean, the NHL, when does the NHL say enough's enough?
Yeah, January 1st of 2011. So I pay attention to that situation pretty closely. I mean, I've been to the Phoenix Arena. It's a fantastic arena. It's amazing. It's just too bad that no one goes there to watch games. So, I think they will get moved. I think that selling out five games at the end of the regular season when your team's making the playoffs doesn't justify keeping a team in the league forever.
Great. Good answers. Fantastic.
Excellent. Excellent. I think you won that shootout, though, so congratulations. We're tied 1-1 now. Next one's the decider. As always, thank you for listening to us ramble again. Be sure to visit the blog, www.ozpuck.blogspot.com, for all of your AHL, NHL, and ice hockey talk. I'll put a post about our award winners just in case anyone wants them to be recapped without having to go back to the start of the podcast. God knows you don't want to listen to it again. Thanks to all of our special plug to all of our American and North American, I should say, and European listeners who contacted us, I think, during the last week or last 2 weeks between podcasts. Hopefully you've appreciated this, and all of our Australian fans as well. Thanks for listening. We wouldn't be doing it without you.
Exactly, and best of all, and most of all, we'd love feedback. I mean, anything that, you know, readers out there or listeners out there, you know, want us to talk about or any topics that they want us to really nail, just let us know. I mean, email ozpuck, like you said.
Yeah.
So we get a good, yeah.
Yeah, ozpuck@gmail.com. They're always open. I mean, we do get viewer feedback, but we just want to make sure that we're accommodating for everyone, so don't be shy. Any final words, WCOM?
No, just keep your head up and keep your stick on the ice. My buddy Stevie White.
I'm going to praise Jeebus again for letting us do this podcast. Okay, well, that's enough from us. Have a fantastic evening, and you'll hear from us soon, as always. Bye, everyone.
Bye.